We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, taking a time for silence and self-reflection and self-examination of our sin. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone.
We have not loved you
with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Stir up our hearts, Lord God, to prepare the way of your only Son. By his coming, nurture our growth as people of repentance and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, the 11th chapter. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be a belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to read with me responsively Psalm 72. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon, throughout all generations. In his days may righteousness flourish, and peace abound until the moon is no more.
Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things.
Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill all the earth. Amen and amen. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 15th chapter. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Jesus Christ, so that together you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised, and on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promise given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Therefore, I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel, let's try that again. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise children for Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." It's not good. "I baptize you with water for repentance. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
Christ. Oh, you said it. We've talked about the chaff and the wheat before. To be very clear. Oh, how about this? Any catechism student who can repeat to me the sermon of the chaff and the wheat doesn't have to stay for catechism today. I know you want out of it. It's your birthday, after all. So, the chaff and the wheat. The chaff is part of the grain of wheat. So, the winnowing fork, yes, it is a pitchfork. It looks very scary. What the farmer does is they take the winnowing fork and they take the big pile of grain with the chaff connected to it. It's like a piece of candy, okay? What do? Before you eat the piece of candy? You unwrap the candy. You don't just eat the wrapper, unless some of you are weirdos, okay? You take the pitchfork, you throw it up in the air, the wind then blows the chaff off of the grains, and the grains, the good grains, the grains that have no chaff and now are good to eat and to be gathered into the granary, they fall to the floor. You see, we are the grains and the wheat, right? Or sorry, we are the grains and the chaff, especially some of us. But that's not the sermon today. I just really like that part. So God does purify us. The purifying fire is that which takes the old, which is not good within us, that
outer husk and burns it away, and what's left is the grain. Now's when you stop the recording and pretend that that was my sermon, because this is not a Senate-approved sermon today. It's like, the bishop's not here, right? Okay, good. I'm going to make fun of constitutions today. If this congregation considers developing an additional site to be used regularly for worship, it shall confer with the synod, the bishop of the synod, and which it is territorially located in the appropriate unit of the church-wide organization, whatever unit that might be, before any steps are taken leading to such action. Everyone have that committed to memory? Ron, you're the head of the Constitution Committee. You should know that one. That is, of course, section C6.07 of our church's constitution. Come on, who knew this? Now, I want to be very clear. I am not a church anarchist. I am not suggesting that we should throw out all sense of order and governing structure for our church, for our churches. I do think that we do need thoughtful church constitutions. They're important. And yet, I do wonder if John the Baptist were to show up here and read this subsection of our church constitution, a subsection which, in fact, mandates synod approval before we can regularly worship somewhere other than this place. You know, we wouldn't want God to be worshiped freely and proclaimed freely. We wouldn't want the good news to be proclaimed freely in any unauthorized places, would we? By the way, the subsection, it is required by our model constitution of the ELCA. I'm pretty sure that if John showed up here and read that subsection, his reaction would be a loud and a swift, "You brood of vipers!" Because I don't think he would approve of all parts of our constitution. But then again, I don't think we have to worry, because I'm not all that sure that John the Baptist would show up here anyway. Don't worry, I said this to the other church too. Not sure he would show up to any of our churches. In John's world, you see the temple and the religious places and the religious types and the self-serving bureaucracies. These people and these places and these things, they exist in the places of power. The center of religious life for the Jewish people in John's day is Jerusalem, and more specifically, the temple in Jerusalem. That is the center of it all. You travel to the center. The center does not travel to you. You travel to the center. Those on the edges, those on the outside, those in the margins, those in the wilderness, those up in Galilee, they travel to the center, not the reverse. John the Baptist, though, he does not travel to the center. He does not show up at the temple. He is not concerned with proper religious spaces or whether he has been approved to regularly proclaim the Lord's coming at a particular place in the wilderness by his synodical or church-wide body. He doesn't care. He stays in the margins. He preaches from the margins. He baptizes from the margins. And people begin to sense, hey, I think there's something going on out here at the margins. It's like, maybe, just maybe, God might be at work somewhere outside of the temple in religious spaces. Can you imagine that? That is blasphemy, especially for a pastor to stand in front of one of those religious spaces and say that. Stick with me, okay? People start going from the center out to the margins, don't they? From the temple, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they too, they go out from the center and they go out to see John. They want to know what all of this commotion out there is about. And they also want to know, hey, why did people stop showing up at the temple? They're not here anymore. Why did they go out there? We want our people back. So they go out there. They're curious. They want to find out what's going on. Now, John yells at them, but I commend them for going out. What do they find when they get there? A crazed lunatic, let's be honest. A crazed lunatic wearing a camel's hair suit, eating honey and bugs, bringing people to repentance by nearly drowning them, and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven has come near. Which is ridiculous because no one authorized this guy to say this stuff. God would most certainly work through a clean-cut religious type with a nice blue thing around his white robe. Ooh, and a pretty blue cross around his neck. God would most certainly work through someone like this, not through a crazed lunatic out in the wilderness. God would make sure the good news is only proclaimed from a synodically approved location, right? Not all sure that sure that John the Baptist would show up here or any of our religious spaces. Temples, you see, they're not exactly his thing. Centralized places for worship, places of religious authority, not exactly his thing. Out there, you can go out that door too. And if you go down into the basement, there's a door outside the basement. You can go out that way too. Out there, that's kind of John's thing. Now, that doesn't, okay, if you've tuned me out because I've church bashed too much, I apologize, tune back in. This doesn't mean that the temple in John's day did not serve a purpose. In Jewish society and culture, it absolutely served a purpose. Same with us. This place here, this place serves a purpose. For many of us, our lives of faith are centered here. For some of us, our entire lives of faith, right, Norm, have been centered here. Worship spaces. Congregations like this one, church bodies like the ELCA and others, they are important. Even church constitutions sometimes are important. And yet, on the occasion when we here in the center tune our ears just right, especially in the season of Advent, and we hear the Baptist cry from out there in the wilderness, there's something we might be able to learn from the Baptist. When we in the center hear the Baptist cry from the wilderness, he reminds us that God isn't confined to this space. God isn't controlled by any constitution, owned by any congregation, any church, any church body, or any one person. And I'm really happy about that because I don't want any one person to own God. And God will show up wherever and whenever and however God pleases. Even out there in the wilderness, you know what? Especially out there in the wilderness, God is going to show up. And make no mistake, this is the really good news we hear in John the Baptist's cries. There's something going on out there away from our religious spaces. There might be fewer people here, but God hasn't stopped showing up, either here or out there. It's like maybe God is at work outside of the temple too, outside of our religious spaces, out there in the margins, out there in the world. God is showing up. God is showing up. God is breaking into the here and the now with the good news in the here and now, both here and now and out there and now. God is showing up. in our response to this good news, because we're compelled to respond. The good news, it compels us to respond. God's word does something. It compels us to respond. We must respond. We can't not respond. And our response to this good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near is to show up out there. To show up where the kingdom is already breaking in out there, where God is already breaking in, to heed the Baptist cry, make straight the paths of the Lord, which I kind of think just means, hey, show up out there with some grace. Because where grace is found, people will find God. But first, we show up here. This is important. First, we show up here. We show up here at the center. And what we do here at the center, it matters. I know that none of us here know what this thing is because we just sing off of the wall, but this is Evangelical Lutheran Worship. Brian, you love this book, right? If you flip to page 91 of this book, you don't have to do it right now. I'll read it for you. If you flip to page 91 of that book, the Holy Spirit gathers us around the means of grace. That is, the saving word of God and the sacraments. So we come here, we receive God's word by hearing the word of God proclaimed in scripture, in song, and preaching. We receive God's word and the sacraments at the table through God's body and blood. In the water of that baptismal font, you walk in and you dunk your whole face and body in, right? Anyone else do that? You dunk your whole... Well, I don't have to worry about my hair getting wet, so it's fine. From the table of communion, where Christ comes to us with forgiveness, life, and salvation, God then sends us out. Sends us out to share the good news and to care for those in need. Did we hear how this works? God gathers us in, feeds us with grace, and sends us out. God sends us out. And because we have been here at the center, because we have been fed with God's grace and mercy and love, we are prepared to go out there, to find God out there, to walk with people out there and help them know and see and feel God's grace. Now, to be very clear, there is a call in here to make straight the paths of the Lord. Now, this can be a dangerous piece of scripture. I don't think that our call, my call, your call, is to go out there and fix people who aren't like us. That is not the call. It's not Evangelical Lutheran Worship. It's maybe this one. Yeah, it's this one. I picked this up once, and I just happened to flip to something, and it read something about, remove the log from your own eye before picking out the splinters of someone else's. So before we go out there and try to make straight all of everyone else's paths, perhaps let's make sure all of the logs, in which I have several logs in my eye at the moment, let's make sure the logs are out of our eyes before we try to clear straight paths. But I digress. Perhaps the call when we go out is instead, to go into the wilderness, to meet people in the edges and the margins, knowing and expecting that we will find God out there. Expecting and knowing that there are people out there who need to be fed, who long to be fed with God's grace out there. So yesterday, Andrew, I don't know where he went. He's crawling around. Oh, he's sleeping. Yesterday, Andrew said something to me that was pretty profound, for a 9-year-old? I don't have an answer for this. Well, what about the people whose parents don't bring them to church? How do they know about God? Well, that's a good question. That's a good question, because there are those out there who have never been introduced to God, who have never known from a place like this God's grace. That is one of the reasons we go out to take God's grace. God's grace is already out there, but make no mistake, God's grace is known through us. We go out there for those who have given up on God, because there are folks out there who have given up on God. We go out there for those who are wary of God because they've been harmed by church institutions. Church institutions that they equate with God. And to be very clear, church institutions, even though they might think they are God, are not God. For these people, the path might be anything but clear and straight. And for them, it may not even look like a path anymore. Maybe there is no path. So perhaps God is just sending us out there into a very messy wilderness of a very messy world, to where God is already showing up. And perhaps making straight the paths of the Lord might mean simply walking with, accompanying someone on whatever path it is that they know to be their life. It might be a crooked path. It might be an overgrown path. So guess what? If the path is overgrown, go get some hedge clippers, a machete, and a chainsaw, and walk with them on that path. Because regardless of whatever this path is, it is a path on which God will make himself known. I can guarantee you that. God will make himself known on that path out there. And it is a path on which Jesus Christ will be revealed and God's grace will be made known. So no, John the Baptist probably is not going to show up in here, and that's okay. John the Baptist is out there, and we can go out there and raise our John the Baptist kind of cries out there. And the good news is that God does show up here. I'm going to say that again. God does show up here. Despite subsection C6.07 of our church constitution, God does show up here. And because God shows up here, we are prepared to show up out there, trusting that the kingdom out there is already breaking in at the margins, in the wilderness. And yes, God does show up even here in our well-ordered constitutional center. God shows up here. God keeps showing up. God does not need our permission. God does not wait for our permission. God does not check the Constitution. God does not ask us if we're prepared. God just keeps on breaking in over and over and over again to this place, to every place, in the here and now and the out there and now. And for that we say, thanks be to God. Amen.
It's over.
ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he comes. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we prepare for our prayers of intercession today, I'll be adding the family and friends of Joy Johnson. I don't know if you remember Joy Johnson, but she used to sit right back yonder. A few years ago, she went to Arizona to live with her son, and she passed away recently. So please keep her son and her other family and friends in your prayers. Also, please keep Jack Harbst Jr. in your prayers. He is at the hospital here in Galleon. So please keep Jack Harbst Jr. In your prayers. And of course, Jack Harbst as well. I'm sure Jack is struggling with that as well. So are there other prayers this morning? Joe? Jerry? Any other prayers this morning? Sarah. Let us pray. In our waiting and watching, we come to you in prayer, O God, trusting your promise to renew the church, the nations, and the whole creation.
With righteousness and faithfulness, give the kings and rulers of this world your justice, so that the wolf may one day lie down with the lamb. We pray for our partner churches, especially the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Jordan and the Holy Land, and for the shared mission of Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Disaster Response, as they make your mercy known with love in all the broken places of this world. God of grace,
hear our prayer. With steadfastness and encouragement, strengthen those who have lost hope in the face of grief, depression, or disease. We especially lift to you the family and friends of Martha, the family and friends of Joy. We lift Jeff, Tony, Kyle, Marlene, Joyce, Chloe, Joe, Jerry, Jack Jr., Sarah. Those on our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists, and those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Renew the spirits of those recovering from surgery and medical procedures, and those in the hospital. God of grace,
hear our prayer. With welcome and hospitality, embolden us in our shared ministry to overcome all that divides. Through acts of repentance, reconciliation, and reparation, may we seek both forgiveness and to forgive, so that through you, we might serve all our neighbors in this church, in Galleon, and to the ends of the earth, in the way of Christ. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Draw near to us, O God, as we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace.
Step with our gifts and our offerings.
With me. Nourishing God, you are water in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Through this meal, satisfy our parched places, that we may rejoice and be for the world signs of your kingdom to come. And all that, God's people said, Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new. In the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table, all of you, where all are always welcome, and receive God's grace.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God, our host, at this table you have fed us with joy and gladness. Send us forth, eager to share the feast, welcome the stranger, and bear good fruit in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay, since no one got the quiz right, there's catechism today after church, even if it's your birthday, especially if it's your birthday. Worship and music will meet next Sunday after church. We probably won't be here till 1:30. It's okay. Midweek Advent services, they continue at St. Paul at 7 o'clock each Wednesday, each of the next two Wednesdays. Let's see. There is a tree over there in the corner of our gathering space for our Adopt-A-Family for Christmas. I think there are still some tags left, so please take a look at that. Also, there are still some poinsettia order forms out there on the counter or one of the tables. Anything else? Any other announcements? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ is coming, so heed the cry of the Baptist.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
They took your life.
Make his paths be straight.
We will, and thanks be to God.
It was in yellow, that's why they did it.